Welcome to In Season, where we explore the connections between people and land, wildlife, plants here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and today I am so happy to finally be connecting with Brooke McLean from Barking Dog Farm. Hi, Brooke.
Hi.
It's so nice to connect with you. I feel like you are someone whose business I've been seeing emerge over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, and I love what you do, and we've just never really had time to sit down and talk and get to know one another. So can you tell people a little bit about who you are, where your farm is, and what you produce?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I totally agree. This is great. Great opportunity. Yes, we moved to Klatskai in 2016 from Hawaii, my husband and I. My brother had lived in Portland since he finished college, and we were very close, and I wanted to be closer to him. So we decided to make the big move, and I felt that it was a move that would enable me to have a simpler life. Moving from 20 plus years of customer service, retail management experience, working with big box organizations, managing millions of dollars for those folks, to just living the simpler life and perhaps growing some of our own food and being a little more self-sufficient, taking care of a space of land that we were so fortunate to have found in Klatskai. So it's a 4-acre piece, but I would say right away we just started marking out less than an acre to actually grow on. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is trees and steep and just natural. We want to just keep it that way, and it was easier to keep it that way. So we started off real small, just a few raised beds that we could protect from the wildlife, which is...
What do you have?
Lots of deer.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of deer.
Do you get elk as well or no?
We do not where we are at, but up above us we do, and down below. So we're kind of in a zone where they avoid, which is great.
That's wonderful.
Fingers crossed, they could still make their way. We can't predict that. And that was the other thing I wanted, or that was difficult for us, rather. Going from a very predictable way of life in retail management, more predictable, more in control, to a life where things are completely beyond our control.
You're talking about working with nature and farming.
Correct.
And stuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so with the wildlife, as we're segueing into that, and other, you know, obstacles.
Yeah.
Can't control those things. Can't control nature. So we just started on a small little plot, growing a few vegetables. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I thought, you know, I've never done this before, and I need some instruction. And I love class. I love school. I always did. So I found the Master Gardener program in Columbia County, signed up for that right away, went through that program, started helping at the Rainier Food Bank, who had a garden right outside that they would grow food for. So I thought this is a great way to get some instruction and some maybe formal training that I thought was formal as I wanted.
Brooke, I did exactly the same thing when I moved here back in 2003. I went through the Master Gardener program,
yes,
Clatsop County, and that's how I learned how to grow in this region.
Yes.
It can be really helpful.
I absolutely.
Because we don't have a farmer training program out here, so...
That's it.
And there's a lot of similarities.
Right.
I maybe didn't need the class on lawn maintenance.
No, and they didn't promote that very heavily either in their instruction, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely interesting.
And you moved from a very different climate. If you're
Absolutely.
Moving here from Hawaii,
yes,
very different growing climate.
Very different.
And totally different plants.
Totally different. Totally different. So I needed, if I'm going to spend money and time being simple, I need some instruction to do it right and not waste money.
Yeah.
Since, again, that's that retail management piece kicking in. We can't waste money. So my feeling was I need some instruction and we didn't have a lot of money to spend on instruction or going to school or other schools. So this was the most accessible way and affordable way that I could find that instruction and just start growing a few vegetables that we could enjoy.
So your original plan was not to start a business. It was just to be more self-sufficient, grow some of your own food.
Correct.
Just enjoy the land that you were on.
That's it. That's it. And then maybe supplement our grocery bill that way. So maybe, because I knew we wouldn't grow everything.
That's a really big job.
Absolutely.
Being 100% self-sufficient is really hard.
And I've met those folks and applaud those folks. And I'm so enamored with the work they do to make that happen.
Yeah.
But I knew there was no way I could do it, nor I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. So it was just a little way to maybe supplement and maybe save some money because I'm growing it. So I'm going to save money by growing my own vegetables than going to the grocery store.
Yeah, you know, it's a slippery slope.
It is.
I mean, and conceptually, yeah. I mean, you do on some level, depending on the things and how you're doing it.
Yes.
I wish that you could see Brooke's expression on her face right now because we're both cracking up because we've both been down this path. And there is so much value in growing some of your own food. And I feel like everybody should have that experience at least once to just connect with what it takes because it's eye-opening.
Absolutely.
If you've never done it before, to grow your own produce, fruit, whatever,
absolutely,
and realize the work that goes into it,
absolutely,
you value it more.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. The first sprouts of those radishes, I think I was out there just jumping and screaming with joy.
That your seeds had germinated.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I did it. I don't know if we're going to eat these radishes because Mitch doesn't care for radishes, but we're going to do it. We're going to make this work.
Because
there's success here. There's success.
Radishes are such a great way to start because they're such a no-brainer. I don't really like radishes either. So I don't grow them anymore because I don't really like them. But they're so easy to grow.
Right. Such so that was a good learning.
Good starter.
Great starter. You feel success. But now you have many radishes. But this is always the story I tell folks starting out. Grow what you like to eat. And we learned that in Master Gardener class.
Yeah.
Remember that. If you don't care for it, if you don't want to eat it, and you've put all this work into it to not enjoy it, was it worth it? You have to ask yourself. And sometimes it was, just for this feeling of success. And then maybe you're broadening your palate, or you're learning to love new things, but at the end of the day, if someone doesn't love a radish, they're not going to love a radish.
And so don't grow a radish.
Don't grow a radish. Move on to something else.
Yeah, there's so many. And there is so much that grows well.
Yes.
In this region. There really is. Yes. I'm shocked by that continually. And I'm excited that people keep pushing the boundaries of what can grow here, not just inside a greenhouse, but just like, well, let's try it.
Yes.
And
yeah, and I've done that many times over the years. I will see something that someone else is growing that I've never eaten. Growing up in Hawaii, we didn't have rhubarb. We didn't have kohlrabi. We couldn't find kale. So all of these things that are now new to us and new to our palates, we want to try because we love to eat and we are adventurous eaters. So that helps as well.
Hugely.
Absolutely. And so that's what we would try, and we were successful, and then you have to be creative. Now you've got this thing. Now you've got to do something with it to make it interesting and palatable and exciting. Sometimes there's success there, and sometimes there isn't. So kohlrabi, we were pumped about it. We were jazzed about it. We had success with it. But after two seasons, we both realized, Mitch and I, we don't really care for that. And it takes up a good amount of room.
It's a big plant.
In your growing space. So we decided to shelve that seed packet and move on to something else.
Yeah.
So.
And it's going to be different for every person.
Absolutely.
You know, what you enjoy.
Absolutely.
I think one of my crops is fennel. don't really like fennel. I'm sorry, don't really like fennel. I used to grow it for restaurants because chefs were always like, oh my God, fennel, I want fennel. And then I would grow it and I would put it on my list every week and they wouldn't order it and they wouldn't order it. And then the week that it started to bolt, they would all place orders. And I'm like, I don't even like this plant.
Right.
Why am I growing it?
Yes.
So, yeah, I
but
think
I went
it's
down the fennel road, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So how did you get from growing some stuff just for yourselves and trying all this stuff out to, you know, how a bit you're like, you couldn't stray far from business, right? Clearly it's in your blood. Right. What happened? Because you started, did you start processing at that point? Like, and but when I use the word processing, I'm meaning canning, producing, you know, pickles and jams and whatever. And did you grow up doing that? That's a lot of questions.
Yes. So first and foremost, that retail person in me thought, well, now we've got more than we can eat. And we had a few family members here that we could share with and some neighbors that we knew. But there was a market in town, right, in Klatskanai. Very small, very accessible. Accessible meaning very low cost to enter. So decided to go for it and start selling those few things that I found success with at this small market. And because there were so few boundaries financially to doing that, I could bring just a few things to dip my toe in that water and then start to engage with people in my community, my new community, my neighborhood, and see what people wanted, what worked. And from there, I had never canned. I did not grow up in a house where that happened. But I think it was one of those times where it was all over, you know, the internet and Pinterest. And there was this, this is what I remember how I got into it. There's this fancy new canner from Smart Tech by Ball. And it did all the work for you, and you could just do small batch and just hit a button and it happens.
Whoa.
And so Mitch got me that for Christmas, and that's how I started with this fancy thing. And then I could now can all this rhubarb into jam, so starting the jam route, and then started taking that to market and seeing how that would market. And found, A, I have a great plant. It produces well. I have found a great recipe and a great product that I like and that people want. And so that
it hits all the buttons.
It does. And that's really how I've kind of guided the way I've done things since, in that very, what I think is pretty simple. Find something you like to eat. Find something you can grow and find a recipe you like. And you gotta like doing it too. Canning is not easy. There's a lot of steps. It is just me doing it all from start to fit, from seed to jar.
Yeah.
I'm doing every step. It's a lot of work. So if I'm making relish and processing all these things, I really need to love doing it. Me personally. That's the main driver.
That seems like a really good limitation to put on yourself, because so often people get into, you know, and we so often feel this pressure to kind of monetize the things that we love to do.
Sure.
And if you're going to go down that route, sometimes it becomes a chore and it becomes something you don't actually enjoy. So do you still enjoy?
I do.
Processing?
I do.
And you still enjoy growing?
I do.
This is great.
I do. I know. So I will hem and haw about it all the time, but at the core of it, I will ask myself, so stop.
Yeah.
Don't do any of it next season, Brooke. And there's no way. Every time I come back and say, I can't stop.
Yeah.
So that's the indicator, I guess.
Do you mostly now just sell processed things, value add products, pickles and jams, or do you still sell fresh produce?
Primarily it is processed. So jam, pickles and fresh garlic. So I do, that's really my only fresh item. And then a few amount of farm eggs. So we do have a few chickens. If I've got some extra eggs, I can bring. But again, it's all farm direct. So mainly if I'm going to do markets, if I have the time, or pop-ups, which are more scattered about scheduling wise, and I can, you know, I have the, I can fill a table and have a presentable, you know, group of items that look great when it's one-offs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And so for the things that you grow, have you refined the produce or the plants that you grow to fit what you're processing? Because this is something that I mean, I had to learn this as well, because we do a lot of value add stuff for my farm as well. And knowing how much to grow, how much are you going to harvest? When do you need to harvest? Because it is a tricky thing when you're doing it, as you said, from seed to jar.
Yes.
And it's a question that I've gotten a lot over the years for people who, you know, maybe they're not trying to start a business as a food processor, but they want to just can for themselves. Well, how many cucumbers do I need if I want to have this many pints of pickles? And I know there's calculations and stuff involved, but was that tricky to learn? You know, how many cucumber plants do you have to plant in order to have enough that you can make the pickles or the relish that you want to do?
Right.
How did you figure that out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if I'm rewinding back to the first year with pickles, so cucumbers, it was, I had the space to grow the plants and I grow them vertically in the hoop. So I buy a particular seed that's created for hoop house growing, and they're not cheap seeds to begin with. So I knew I had, if I'm going to do this, it's, you know, I really need to focus on this plant. So I think I had marked out the plot that I knew could be devoted to best growing this number of plants, not knowing what the yield would be, not knowing the first year how many jars that would turn out. So it was, how many plants do I want to take care of and what space do I have to do it? And then that year, recording everything, recording the year, the yield in pounds and pieces. I mean, I did a lot of recording, almost too much, to the point where the next year I was like, are you kidding me? I'm not doing that again. That's way too much recording. But it helped, because then I'll go back year after year and realize I've fine-tuned it without even knowing it or looking at it. But it's up in there rattling around my brain. So, but it started out pretty simple with the number. And then when that yield was too much and I realized I didn't want to make that much, or I didn't have enough bell peppers to put into that relish, then I knew I had to adjust the growing of that item to go in it. I knew I had the garlic. Now I have to add onions if I'm going to make bread and butters. So it was more about negotiating space, mapping out space, seeing what the yield would be. And then come canning season, which is after your typical busy time, we become busier
we're
canning, dawn till dusk type of thing. It's okay, this year, this yield brought me this many, you know, cases of XYZ. Do I want to do that much again? Did I sell that much? Is there the demand there? Do I have the time and energy to put into that number again? Yes or no?
Yeah.
So it all comes back to, really, do I want to do it?
Yeah. Do you find that your yield has been consistent? Have you been able to refine that? Because, I mean, there's always variables. As you said in the very beginning of our conversation, we're working with nature. Is I look at nature as like one of my business partners.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels like it's a business partner who, like, forgets to take its meds.
They're cranky.
A lot.
Yeah. There's always that employee.
Very volatile, you know. And some years it does this and some years it does that. And you're always trying to respond. But at a certain point now, for me, I'm like, I know, okay, if I plant a 60-foot row of X, I'm probably going to get about, you know, within these parameters, I'm going to get about this many pounds of, you know, green beans or tomatoes or carrots or whatever that is. You know, you've done it enough times now.
Right.
So do you feel like you're there? It takes practice.
Yes. I would say up in this last year, there was a wrench thrown in there. I had moved the grow space, so it was now maybe not as built up. So the...
You mean the soil.
The soil. Mm-hmm. And I went with a different seed.
Okay.
From a different seed company.
Oh.
Because at the end of the season, I'll always go back again to those numbers, whatever numbers I took that I felt were important that year, and I will look at the differences and ask myself, what was different this year? And those were the two things that were different. So now I've learned, again, like with every year, what was different, because then the outcome becomes different. Even if, but that's not always the case, but up until this year, it has been. Because again, once you get dialed in, you know the minor tweaks to get things back on track. But I had two big upsets, and that absolutely changed the yield. Absolutely. So
those are hard lessons. Well, but absolutely. But also we're still learning. I mean, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But then you've learned something.
Absolutely. I know. Absolutely. And at the same time, I got a little break because I'm not pickling as much this year, but I'm kind of bummed because I like it. I like the product, and other people do too.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to say, I'm sorry, I don't have as much of that this year. It's a heartbreaker, especially when people are counting on it and then you're sold out. I just want to reintroduce you for people. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Brooke McLean. She's from Barking Dog Farm in Clatskanie. And we're talking about farming produce, turning produce into pickles and jams, which is a big part of her business. And I feel what you're saying. I had a yellow jacket infestation in my strawberry crop this year where they were just eating them. And so I lost like about a month of strawberry harvests. And so I'm going to have a lot less strawberry jam this year, which is going to be really heartbreaking for a lot of people. Oh, yes. But that's just like that happens. And what do you do?
Absolutely.
So you have to learn how to respond.
Absolutely. And we lost all our raspberries this year.
Oh.
We had severe deer pressure this year, man. And I wasn't prepared. I just, again, autopilot. What works, works. Mm-hmm. This year I didn't add another layer of protection because I didn't need it before, and they were wiped out. And raspberry jam is a draw. People are hardcore.
That's hard.
Raspberry jam or nothing.
Oh,
And I love it too. So disheartening. So what do I do? How do I shift gears? How do I celebrate a learning moment? Well, acceptance, giving myself grace. I say that word all season long, this season in particular. There's nothing I could do. I mean, I could have done something, but at the end of it, it was gone.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it. I got a little break from making jam so I could focus on growing, you know, maybe everything else a little better, spending a little more attention on that. Spending more time in the hoop.
Yeah.
You know,
And when you say hoop, I just explain to people, like you're talking about a high tunnel or a greenhouse.
Yeah, we have a 100-foot caterpillar tunnel.
Yeah.
That's where the cucumbers, the peppers, and the tomatoes are.
Yeah.
So
a little bit of heat.
That's it.
Helps just everything.
Absolutely. So
it's a lot.
It is a lot. So when you get these little kinks, you know, you've got to shift and look at the positive. And what was the reason for it? And take that learning and just keep moving on, because at the end of the day, there's just no point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had the moments. I've had the
heartbreak moments.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. When the deer were in there one more, it's like, really? Come on. You have 4 acres. Come on.
It's so hard. But also, I've always found that those are great kind of learning moments for our community as well, to help understand, you know, the challenges with food production. And I think so often people are really removed from how the food that they eat is produced and the challenges that farmers face in that. And there are a lot of variables and things that you need to think about. And it's one thing to say, oh, well, you should have protected your raspberries more. That's a lot of infrastructure to fence off raspberries, to fence off your land. Very expensive.
Absolutely.
And that's a hard investment. And you start to have to weigh, well, how much am I going to make in jam?
Right.
And can that pay for
right.
this fencing?
Right.
That's a lot of jam you need to sell.
Right. Right. But you bring up a great point. It does create that opportunity to engage with your customer in a different way. almost an educating piece, but it's just a connecting conversation piece. Again, bringing people back to the food and how that food made it to your plate. I mean, the most humbling experience was bringing that first bunch of carrots to the market. I think I brought 2 bunches of carrots to the market to sell, and I was beaming because it was so hard to bring them there, but yeah. They were beautiful and perfect. And someone balked at the price.
Yeah.
And I pretty much wagged my finger in that person's face and scolded and said, "Do you know what it, you know?" And that person bought that bunch of carrots, and they were so excited about them, just as excited as I was. But again, that learning where, I mean, I grew up, we shopped at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I mean, like most folks, I think we didn't have farmers markets. We did go to Chinatown sometimes and shop that way as well, open market. But when you shop direct from someone who's grown it and brought it to you, that's such an amazing experience to be part of. You're part of that.
Yeah.
Huge.
It's powerful. It's huge. It's such a great connection.
It is. It absolutely is. So,
yeah.
So value. I feel there's so much value no matter what.
Yeah.
In sharing the failures, sharing the success, sharing the product, all of it. So.
If people are curious and want to access your product, how do they find out where you're selling? Because you say you're not necessarily at a consistent market. Where can they find you? How do they find out where you're going to be at a pop-up?
Right. I think the best way would be through the North Coast Food Web.
Mm-hmm.
I have done a pop-up there this year. I also help out at the Astoria Sunday Market. So I'm there every Sunday, but, you know, nothing consistent at the moment since mm-hmm. I'm helping with other things. So really, it would just be reaching out to me directly. I do, you know, some folks have my contact information mm-hmm. and have remembered products they've gotten from me, or they still have labels on jars.
Do you have a website or anything?
I do have Instagram, Barking Dog Farm, where okay. you can message me.
Okay.
So
there's ways to reach out and, yes. and be in connect and, yes. and listen out in the community. If you hear Barking Dog Farm is going to be doing a pop-up,
yes.
go try Brooke's stuff. It's Thanks. Phenomenal. Such Thanks. A beautiful range of things.
Thanks.
You're such a delightful person.
Thanks.
And so Appreciate inspiring. It. I love your story. Thanks. And I love how it is inspiring to me, and hopefully to other people who are listening, that you can take a small plot of land yeah. and a little determination and some good record keeping, yeah. but not too much,
right?
Yeah. And turn it into, you know, a viable thing that you yeah. still enjoy doing.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
That's so great. I know this has Thanks. Been such a good conversation and, I just love your story.
Thanks.
And I really do love that you still love to do it. And that's a great evaluation. I think a lot of people do get into this and then get overwhelmed.
It's easy to do because yeah. it is overwhelming.
It is.
It's hard. I mean, people don't wake up and say they want to be doctors.
No.
But a lot of folks wake up and say they want to be farmers.
And then they do it.
And they're like, it's harder than we thought.
Yeah. So I know. Yeah. But I'm so glad you've stuck with it. And thank yeah. you so much. And thanks yeah. for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone who's been listening. It's been a great conversation.
Pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks a lot.